Amen. Hey, as you grab a seat, go ahead and grab your Bible and turn with me to Romans chapter 12. If you need a Bible, there's one in a seat somewhere nearby you. There's one somewhere close to you every single week. And if you don't own a Bible, please leave with that. That is our gift to you. To orient ourselves around what I think this part of Romans brings up, let me start with a statement from Jesus, and let's try to finish this statement together. But Jesus said, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Now, as you know, just even judging by your response, many of us are very familiar with that line. Some of you, if you're newer to walking with Jesus, this might be a new statement for you. But whether new or whether familiar with this statement for decades now, I just want us to start there and to really think about what Jesus said there. There's many ways he could have finished that statement. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if there's a variety of ways he could have ended it, but he ended it if you love one another. It's actually fairly remarkable, right? That the greatest indicator to a watching world that we are followers of Jesus, the greatest mark that distinguishes us from all other groups in the world, is our love for one another, our love for each other. And it's fitting that we start there, and it's not surprising where Paul goes in this practical part of the book of Romans around this topic of gospel love. That this is the kind of the heading I'm putting over this section of the book of Romans that we find ourselves in, this idea of gospel love. Last week, Pastor Mitch from one of our church plants, Ascend Bible Church, so well preached to us what a love for the body as a whole looks like, of us humbly using the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given us to see the entire body served and built up through the use of those gifts. Today, we want to look at what I'm calling a rapid-fire section in Paul's letter of what love for each other looks like. Today is about what love in the body of Christ looks like. And it's rapid fire. Paul has these sections in some of his letters where he just rapid fires some ethical commands to us and doesn't spend a lot of time unpacking them. This section is one of those sections. And then next week, we're going to come back to the same section and we're going to look at what does love for our enemies look like. And again, in a rapid-fire manner, we're going to see some of these instructions. But the big heading over today, very simply, is this: gospel people love each other genuinely. Gospel people love each other genuinely. That's what today's message is about. Now, why have I settled on that as the main idea of today? As we come to Romans 12, verses 9 down through 21, and we hit this rapid-fire section of the letter, some Bible scholars and really, really smart, faithful men and women who've studied this think like these are totally kind of disconnected ethical commands. There's this, there's this, there's this, there's this, there's this. And then other Bible scholars say, oh no, it's for sure rapid fire, but there's some sort of unity, there's some sort of connectedness to what Paul's saying here. And I kind of lean towards that side. And I think verse 9 gives us a heading that kind of orients us and organizes us around the rapid-fire nature of what's coming. And it's really in how verse 9 starts. Let love be genuine. Let love be genuine. And now as we make our way down into these verses, we're going to see what does genuine love look like for one another in the body of Christ. What does genuine love look like for enemies? And I'm teasing those themes apart between this week and next week so we can really focus on each of them. But gospel people love each other genuinely. This is what we're going after today. And there's really seven themes that I want to pull from these verses that I think orient us around what gospel love for one another looks like. And these seven themes are going to come to you in a rapid-fire manner because it's a rapid-fire passage, okay? And so we're going to quickly make our way through these seven themes here today. But why don't you stand with me and let me read God's word over us today. And then we'll pray, and then we'll make our way through these seven themes here. This is the word of God, Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Father, what beautiful truths that we just read here, only to be lived out by the power of the Spirit. We just read these ethical command rapid fire, and we're just confronted with, Lord, in our flesh, we can't do this, but praise be to you, you've not left us to ourselves. And so, Father, I pray now as we look today and really focus today, what is love for us as a body, amongst us as a body, what does that look like genuinely? Holy Spirit, we are so desperate for your help, for your hope, for your strength, for your guidance. And so, Lord, in the coming minutes, would you hide your preacher behind your word and keep me under the authority of your word? And would you give us all ears to hear and eyes to see? We love you, and we devote this time to you, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's start with this heading. Gospel people love each other genuinely. And I want us to begin with verse 9 as the heading before we get into these seven themes. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. I believe this to be a heading over the verses we have just read together. This is about genuine love. The word genuine, no surprise to us, it means real. We all know, right, and we can all confess that we've learned through the years how to put on a surfacey facade of love at times, and we know what genuine from the Spirit kind of heart love actually looks like. And Paul says, let love be genuine. Let it be authentic. Let it be real. Let the love that we're talking about today be from the heart, both in the coming verses for those in the family of God and for your enemies. A genuine heart love. Not just putting on kind words. Oh, you know, I'm not from the South, but I've heard bless your heart in the South can mean a variety of things, right? Not just like with words only, but like actual heart, real, authentic, genuine love. Paul's like, this is what we're talking about right here. This is an agape love. It's a sacrificial love. An agape love is a love that regards the other, genuinely regards the other. It's a love that has interest in the other. It's a love that esteems the other. And so in a world so caught up, and I don't want to get into it, I can't get into it today, but in a world so caught up in self-esteem, I just got myself into something here, right? But in a world so caught up in self-esteem, Paul's like, let's focus on some agape esteem, some building up of the other, some genuine agape love. I believe it's so fitting, right? And everything, remember, just everything we're talking about in Romans 12 to 16, we have to totally tie back to all the gospel that Paul has unpacked in chapters 1 through 11. Because the kind of love that Paul's talking about, it really is. Don't think this is an overstatement. It really is supernatural. It really is supernatural. Guess what? I can't love you with an agape love apart from the power and the love of Jesus Christ shed abroad in my own heart first. I can't. I'll just walk around thinking, man, that person's kind of weird. And I don't really, I don't know, I don't enjoy them, right? Like all of us can experience in our flesh. But once someone has the genuine love of God shed abroad in their heart through faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ, like once someone has genuinely drank in the love of Jesus on their own life, that is a supernatural means that actually empowers us to live with an agape, others first kind of love for the body of Christ. And it really is supernatural. But now, this is so helpful for us and important that we see related to this heading, that gospel people love each other genuinely. Paul goes somewhere, and again, I think it's connected. He says right after this, abhor what is evil. Hate what is evil. Hate what is evil. We can't love each other with a genuine agape kind of love and harbor what is evil in our heart. So like where you're cherishing iniquity in your heart and you think that only affects you and your life, it's such a lie of the enemy. It affects everyone in the body. Like I can't not abhor evil. I can't love evil and love the body well. Let your love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. The opposite of that, cling to what is good. Hold fast. Cling to what is good. When we cling to what is good, God gets to define what is good. When we cling to what is good, it's about more than just our own life and our own personal walk with Jesus. Sure, it affects that, but that also then affects the whole body. When we're good clingers, we build up the body. We love the body. When we're good clingers, we're loving one another. And so, you know, I just think verse 9 is the heading. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. And now, okay, buckle up. Here we go. 7 rapid-fire themes that I think help us understand what is this genuine love for the body looks like. Number one is this. Genuine love is a familial love. A familial love. Genuine love is a family-like love. Look at verse 10. Beginning of verse 10. Love one another with, what's your Bible say? Love one another with brotherly affection. This is the first theme that Paul begins to get at of what is a genuine love in the body of Christ of for us together. What does a genuine love look like? And he says an agape love includes a Philadelphia love, a brotherly love. An agape love that is sacrificial, that esteems the other, that regards the other, that puts the interests of others in front of my own, includes with it this brotherly affection. We love like family. Hear me now. We love like family because we are family. We love like family. And don't hear that as just like this figurative, you know, oh, hear it. We love each other like family because we are family. We are blood-bought, gospel-galvanized brothers and sisters in Christ. We are. We are. And like, if we could get that in our head, it would so help us love one another. If we would remember, we aren't just people that share the same church we attend on Sunday, but we're actually literally brothers and sisters in Christ. Blood-bought, gospel-galvanized brothers and sisters. And now that's good news because family's just always easy to love all the time, aren't they? No, it's messy. We all have weird uncles. Like, we all have the people at the family reunion. You're like, man, can't wait to catch up with them. And, ooh, okay. But when we remember, and this is part of, like, I was just sitting here worshiping. Man, I don't have time for tangents today, but here we go. When we were just sitting here worshiping, I was just looking around. Erica and I and Trey were sitting in the back and just looking around and like, oh man, know that story, know that story, know that story, know that story, know that story. There's something I think we can lose sight of because of even how our room's oriented when we gather, that we're all sitting in rows, we're all facing the same direction, that if we could put a big table in the middle of this room, you know, in fact, Mark, can we just, hey, welcome back from sabbatical. Can we just like reorient all of this and just... But I think genuinely, like, we can lose sight of the family reality even at times. That's what's so important about discipleship groups, is from Sunday, all of us in this big, like, family reunion gathering to then, you know, for us Monday night to be in a circle, looking eyeball to eyeball, family, reality. But whoa, how this changes when we remember we're not just a people who share the same worship center on Sunday. We really are brothers and sisters. Really. It's like, whoa, just that reality. Like, some of you might be like, honey, pack up. Like, that's all I needed today. Like, I needed that reminder. And that would change the way we actually go about loving one another. He says, love one another with brotherly affection. But he doesn't stop there. Second kind of rapid-fire theme, genuine love. Genuine love seeks to outdo in showing honor. Genuine love seeks to outdo in showing honor. Look back at verse 10. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Man, we're to outdo each other in this. So honor, just, you know, real simply, is to be acknowledged. When we're honored, we're acknowledged. We're lifted up. We're praised. And I don't mean that in some sort of way of robbing God of praise. But to honor someone is to acknowledge. It's to lift up. It's to praise. And I don't know about you, but man, I can be an honor sponge. Like, you could heap honor in my direction, and I could fake humility. Oh, please stop. But I'm really like, okay, keep it coming. Wow, I agree with you. I think you're right. We can just be honor sponges, right? And there's something about the fleshly side of us that just loves to soak in honor. But Paul says when gospel love grips a community, what happens is we don't live as honor sponges. We live as these honor deflectors. That, like, we are just like, you're heaping honor towards one and they're heaping honor back, and we're just deflecting honor. But it's not this like game. You know, we kind of all know how to play that. Oh, shucks, stop. You're really the, no, it's not a game. It's genuine. Like, no, when I see you do that, the whole family thrives. And we're just these honor deflectors, not honor sponges. Paul says, like, this is a mark of genuine love in the family. When we're seeking to outdo one another in showing honor. Now, he doesn't stop. And in verse 11, I'm going to group kind of these three rapid-fire things into one theme. Verse 11, the third theme of genuine love. Genuine love serves the Lord fervently. Genuine love serves the Lord fervently. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Do not be slothful in zeal. There's the negative command. Not like this, but be fervent in spirit. And here's how we're to get after serving the Lord. Slothful, don't be dull. Don't be cold. Don't be lazy in your spiritual zeal. You know, sometimes I think we see something that happens in new believers. A new believer tastes the gospel joys and love of Christ, and it's like when a match strikes a box, and you know how that match just like burns hot. And we have an expression for that. We say that person is on fire for the Lord. But then over time, and sometimes I wonder, and again, I'm not trying to be too heavy on us today, but sometimes I wonder how like that flame begins to dwindle just because they then get around us. And we've walked with the Lord for decades, and we're kind of like, oh, that's cute. Like, yeah, I remember what that was like to be on fire. No. Paul's saying here, when he says be fervent in spirit, he says, let your spirit be set on fire by the Spirit. Serve the Lord with a spirit inside of you that's been set on fire by the Holy Spirit. So we're not like a box, we're not like a match that strikes a box and then burns hot for a little bit and then slowly dwindles to a pitiful flame and then dies out. We're like the propane company around the corner from where I grew up. In Alto, Michigan, booming metropolis, about 800 people or so, there is a propane company. It was around the corner from where I grew up, and it was kind of on the main drag there, and at the propane company, and I don't know why, some of you know why, there was always a flame burning. And some nights I'd be driving home late, and that flame would be like high, and I don't know why, but I'd notice it. And then some nights the flame would be a little bit lower, but the flame never went out because the propane was always feeding the flame. That's how we're to serve the Lord. Let's be honest, there are seasons where the flame is just burning hot. And there are seasons where it's like, oh, the flame's not, but it's burning. It's burning. And so, like, when Paul says, don't be slothful in zeal for the Lord. Do not be lazy in this. Don't grow cold in this. Don't be dull in this. But be fervent in spirit. Let your spirit be set on fire by the Spirit and serve the Lord like that. Now, what does that have to do with loving each other? Well, when we serve the Lord like that, it's contagious. We're lighting one another on a greater fire for the Lord. We want to start hot, we want to stoke hot, and we want to stay hot until we're in a casket one day and with the Lord. And it's like one of the most loving things we can do for one another is to start hot, stoke hot, stay hot with a fervent love and how we go about serving the Lord. This fires one another up. So these seven themes of genuine love in the body, we've looked at three, fourth one, here it is. Genuine love endures hopefully, patiently, and prayerfully. Again, I'm organizing verse 12 around one theme of endurance or perseverance. Verse 12, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. I think verse 12 has an overarching theme of endurance, of perseverance. We just talked about how it's easy to start hot in our walk with Jesus and then taper down over time. Why? Because it's hard. Don't you love those baptism testimonies when I'm like, and what's your life like now? And they're like, hard. Like this whole conviction thing, wow, that kind is hard. Right? It's hard. And that's why we need reminders of how we love one another genuinely around this theme of endurance and perseverance. And look at what Paul wants to remind us around this theme of endurance and perseverance, that we're to rejoice in hope. This is massive. That for me this week, this was massive. The reminder of my rejoicing, my taking joy in, is not embedded in the circumstances of how hard or easy life is right now. How fun or not fun life is right now, my rejoicing in Christ is taking joy in hope. Capital H hope. Not a G, I hope so hope. Hey, my hope is assured, rested with Christ, buried in the tomb, and risen to life with him when he rose again. And like come a lot of bad things, I almost said a phrase I don't know if I can say from the pulpit, come a lot of bad things, our hope rests there. That's where our hope is. Paul's like, rejoice in that. Rejoice in an assured hope. And then he says, be patient in tribulation. Hey, guess what? Tribulation's coming. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. He didn't say might, maybe. He said, in this world you will. You will have trouble. Paul said, listen to this now. These are the words of Paul. All who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. All? Can I be the exception to the all there? No, you can't, Brock. All who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And Paul says, be patient in tribulation. Patiently waiting on the Lord in the midst of it. Patient with one another while going through it. You know, I don't know about you. I can get fairly grumpy when life's not fun and, you know, my kids, my wife, they're usually the first one to know. Oh, okay, you're kind of in a hard season of life. Well, how'd you guess? Well, you're just kind of grumpy. No. Like Paul's like, be patient in tribulation. Patiently waiting on the Lord. Patient with one another while enduring it. And then he says, how do we do that? What in the world? Like, how do you endure tribulation patiently? I think the last in this verse helps us. Be constant in prayer. Be constant in prayer, always praying, always praying, always praying. Now, again, some of these, you're like, hey, I'm kind of with the scholars who believe these aren't connected at all. Like, what does this have to do with loving the body? Well, remember that we don't endure alone. We don't rejoice in hope alone. We don't be patient in tribulation alone. We don't be constant in prayer alone. Last week, these guys don't know I'm using this. Last week, a couple guys from our church went and hiked the Grand Canyon, I think rim to rim to rim. Jeremy, how many miles did you guys hike? 47 to 49 miles. I can't walk on a flat Indiana road for 47 miles. Who's with me on that? Thank you, Corey. And like, up, down, I don't even know what it's like. Up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. But what I love about the story is not one of those guys did that alone. You don't endure hard things by yourself. You have each other. We hike the terrain of a hard life in Christ together. We endure together. We persevere together. We rejoice in hope together. We're patient in tribulation together. We're constant in prayer together. That's how we love one another as we go and as we persevere and as we endure. And so genuine love endures hopefully, patiently, prayerfully. Fifth theme, here it is. Genuine love gives generously. Genuine love gives generously. Okay, where am I at? Verse 13. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Don't you? Listen, I love some of the, I just love these parts of the Bible. Because even as a Bible teacher, I don't have to look at the beginning of verse 13 and be like, oh, now, Lord, what does that mean in the Greek? Well, Brock, it means give generously to the saints. Any questions? Like when we see needs in the body, we give to them. When we see the needs, we give to them. And I just, y'all, I'm right? How many times have we just been like, oh man, that's tough. Like, Lord, I pray, will you provide for, and the Lord's like, hey, hold on, can we talk about that? You know that extra so-and-so that I've entrusted to you? What if I entrusted it to you, not for you, but for them? We just see that we see the needs in the body and we give generously. And I will add to that, here, near, and far. We give generously to the needs of the body here, like within our local expression, but then near. There's a lot of Christians in our area. There's a big body in our area that transcends the walls of us sitting in this church right here. That when the Lord shows us a need, we can meet. And then far. How about the needs of the church globally, right? And every time, you know, in our church, I'm so thankful for like our church being all over the world this year in different missions. And you go over and you see like, oh my goodness, look at the need. I walk over to a faucet in my kitchen and I get, reverse osmosis pure water. And they're like 5 miles to like the closest well. Right? Like we see these needs here, we see these needs near, we see these needs far amongst the body, and the Lord's like, hey, what if that which I've entrusted to you isn't ultimately for you but for them? And you're a conduit of the generosity and the blessing of that. We give what we do have to meet the needs of what they don't have. And what would it look like? Oh, wow, what would it look like if the first half of Romans 12:13 changed our life? Where we began to reorient the whole financial picture of where we're going in life, not around how much we can accumulate for how comfortable we can live at the end, but how we could reorient everything to contribute to the needs of the saints. Here, near, and far. Sixth, genuine love lives hospitably. Related to generosity is this reality, this Christian reality of hospitality. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. We're to live hospitably. Now, Hospitality, quite literally, is like love for the stranger. It's love for the stranger. In this time when Paul's writing this, the network of Christianity and the advancement of the gospel to new places quite literally depended on hospitality. As Christian teachers and workers came to new places, the Christians in that town were the ones who they're like, hey, no, you're staying with me. I'm putting food in front of you. I'm giving you a bed to sleep in. It like quite literally depended on the reality of hospitality. It's to bring in to serve and to love. It's to bring in one to serve and to love. That we are to be a hospitable people to one another and even to those among the body that we don't even know. There's this really popular book out right now. It's called Unreasonable Hospitality. I know nothing about the author's like spiritual background, but basically a guy runs a restaurant in New York City just raising questions of like, they've taken an approach of like ridiculous over-the-top hospitality. They're like this fine dining place in New York City, and they had a customer once who's like, I've never just had like a New York City hot dog. So they like run out, they go to like a hot dog stand, they get them a hot dog, they bring a New York City hot dog. But they're like, we tried to like model our restaurant around unreasonable hospitality. Listen, love the book, beginning it, you know, not far into it. But Christians should be the greatest picture of unreasonable hospitality this world has ever seen. I thought I'd get an amen there, but maybe second service. Because if we've tasted the hospitality, the welcoming in of a stranger that Christ has shown to us, that not even stranger, enemy, the welcoming in of an enemy, if we've genuinely tasted that in our heart, how can we not open home, life, heart to whoever needs it amongst us? We're to live hospitably. And finally, and I got to wrap it up, genuine love, seventh one here, genuine love embraces humility. Genuine love embraces humility. Let me organize verses 15 and 16 around this theme of humility. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. If you're taking notes around this theme here, number 7, just 4 words. Empathy, harmony, lowly, wisely. Empathy, harmony, lowly, wisely. Some of you are looking at me like, where are you at? Okay, 7th theme, 4 words embedded under it around these verses. Empathy, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Literally, the only way you can actually enter into someone's rejoicing or enter into someone's weeping is through humility. To say, like, it doesn't matter where I'm at right now. My brother, my sister is rejoicing. I'm rejoicing with them. I'm not going to be jealous or envious of the thing they're rejoicing over. I'm literally going to share in their joy. Or weeping, I'm going to enter their grief. I didn't just lose my mother, but they did. And it's not just that I'm sympathetic, like I feel for them. It's like I'm entering into the grief with them. Only in a spirit of humility given by Christ can we do that. Harmony. We're to live at peace with one another. The only way we can do this is through humility. Associate with the lowly. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. This is both in task and with people. In task, I'm going to take the low task. And with people, I'm going to associate with those who the society would deem lower. This is what gospel people do, and this is what we especially do within the body. I won't say names, but I was preaching at Ascend Bible Church last week. And there's just a faithful brother from our church who I walked through the door. He still comes here, walked to a service area of their church and just begin to serve in an unseen way. And I thought, how cool. No one even knows he does this. That with regularity, he takes off from here and he goes and serves at one of our church plant in an unseen way. And then wisely, we're not to be wise in our own eyes, but we're to walk with a wisdom that comes from above, that takes humility. It's easy for us to be wise in our own eyes. It's tough to walk seeking the wisdom from above. We need to say, like, Lord, my wisdom is foolishness before you. I need your wisdom. That takes humility. These 7 themes of what genuine love for the body looks like. Next week, what genuine love for enemies looks like. Gospel people love each other genuinely. And I pray that more of that genuine love would be true of us today. Now, we end every week with "You are loved, you are sent." We've just talked about the love part. We mentioned a sending element in the announcement part, but we're going to close right now with another sending element. So a bit of a unique way for a benediction or a close of our service, but I'm going to invite Pastor Corey and John and Janelle Stump to come up as we close the service, because we want to send this really, really faithful family off well to what God has called them to next. And so, Pastor Corey, I'll turn it over to you.